Thanks, Brian. Good morning, everyone. On January 11th, 1976, this church was born, held its first public service a little more than 50 years ago. Can you believe it? A dream became reality on a cold winter January day here in Chicago. And so this year, if you've been around for a little bit, you know that we've been celebrating 50 years. You know that we have been welcoming voices old and new. We have been sharing about it. We've been talking about it. We've been thinking about the future, because remembering is not just nostalgia, it's also hope. We look at the past and how God has acted to see how he might act in the future. I mean, that's why all over the scriptures there is command after command to remember to the Hebrew people. Remember the Exodus. Remember how God delivered you from the clutches of Egyptian slavery, how he miraculously brought you out of Egypt and into the promised land. And of course, Jesus himself, our new Exodus, we remember that he has rescued us from our Egypt of sin and death and brought us into the glorious kingdom of God. So we remember, we've been remembering this whole year. And what we want to do today is we want to close out our year 50. We want to look to the future. And so we're going to do three things this morning. Number one, we're going to hear three short testimonies, how God has acted in three important people in our church. They're going to come up and share. And then, a special treat for all of us, we have some special people in the room. Our founders are all sitting here in the front row. Many of our founders have come back, made special trips, come back to Chicago, even as far as the suburbs of Las Vegas. They've come to visit us and to be with us, and they're going to come up on stage and bless us at the end. And then, of course, our founding pastor, Steve, will pray and close our services. One last thing before we invite Mr. Alec up on stage. I just wanted to, because remembering is not just about the past, it's also about the future, I wanted to give you an update on our campaign. You know that we've been raising money, Strengthened for Sending. We've been raising money for four different things. We've been raising money for a new roof. We've been raising money for an HVAC system. We've been raising money for a strong financial reserve. And finally, we've been raising money for the future. And so we wanted to give you a brief update on how we've been doing, and this is the update. We've raised over 82% of what we need. This is amazing. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much. And maybe the important thing that I just want to say is three out of the four needs that I've just named, the roof, the HVAC, the strong financial reserve, well, we've already done the work. We've already raised the money for them. The fourth need, which is the future, is what we have yet to raise. And so this last quarter or so of this campaign is all about vision. It's all about what we will do with our future, what we will do, how we will be, and how we will partner with the Holy Spirit to bring the light of Jesus Christ to Chicagoland. That's what this last bit is about. It's about residencies. It's about training new leaders. It's about church plants. And so if you have not yet given to this campaign and the future is something that excites you, I can't resist. I was going to just go really quickly, but I just have to quote one of my favorite theologians. He's an old Catholic guy named Eugene Rosenstock Huessy. And he says that to walk into the future, to truly walk into the future, it only really belongs to Christians. Because God is the one who makes the future happen. And so, if you are interested in giving and you have not yet given, this is for the future, and this is the way that you can give. You can just simply point your phone at that QR code and give, and thank you so much in advance. Now, without further ado, I'd like to invite our first speaker for this morning. So, Mr. Alec, I'd like to invite you on stage. Please come. Please welcome Mr. Alec Childress.
Thank you, Pastor Ted, for that. Good morning, my sisters and brothers. Welcome to the Church of Jesus Christ under the banner of the Vineyard Church of Evanston. One body, many parts. My name is Alec Childress, and I'm going to be short. Watch the clock up there today. I just want to share a few things with you about what Vineyard have meant to me over the 21 years that I've been here. So I'd just like to say, God, please send your Holy Spirit right now upon this place, that those who are within the sound of my voice will not leave here as they came in, but something will be said and done today through word and deed to bless their souls and to know what you gave, that they may be saved and they may have life and have it more abundant. And we thank you in Jesus' name. I came to Vineyard 21 years ago in 2004. I was a stranger, broken, disappointed in leadership of churches that I had been to. And my wife told me, said she knew that I was searching for a church because I had lost confidence in man's leadership, but not God's leadership, because he had delivered me over many trials and tribulations from the cotton fields of Mississippi and into the bright lights and big city of Illinois. And so I was looking for a church, and my wife said, come over to Evanston Township, and there's a church meeting over there, and you might like them. So I went to Evanston Township, and there was Vineyard, and I sat in the back. And as I looked out over the congregation, there was a very diverse, nothing like it is today, but it was diverse. And I was received as a stranger by Pastor Steve, his wife Cindy, Pastor Bill Hunterwall, and the congregation. I was received with love, and like words cannot explain the love that I received as a stranger by the church and leadership of Vineyard. So right away I was taken aback with this church. And so I became a member and realized that this is the place for me. And so you say to me, what have Vineyard Church meant to you? And over the last 21 years, I've been in a place where I was spiritually edified through the word and deed, not of the fulfillment of my lustly flesh, but to edify my mind and my heart. And so this is what Vineyard have been to me, that we have a ministry at Vineyard that is an inclusive ministry, not a divisive, not a division, not a divisive, but an inclusive ministry. And as you look around the sanctuary today, I think you would agree with me on that particular part of this Vineyard ministry. And then, of course, they promote the small group ministry that we have here that allows you to get together and understand one another and appreciate one another. And I'm reminded that how important it is that we greet the stranger, and as was said here earlier, that Jesus talked about your neighbor a lot in the scripture, even in Leviticus in the Old Testament. God said to the Israelites, remember the stranger among you. If the stranger come into your camp, do not put him out. And so it is very important that we embrace one another. And as Jesus talked about your neighbor, when he had the expert in the law come to him, as Luke speaks about in Luke chapter 10, and he wanted to know, what must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said, you know the scriptures. And he said, yes. So what do they say? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. In other words, all yourself. And love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, yes, so you shall have life. But then he wanted to question Jesus farther, know, who is my neighbor? And Jesus took him down Jericho Road, of course. I don't have time to do that. But I'm reminded how important it is that we love one another as our neighbors. When we ask you here to turn to your neighbor, we don't say turn to a person that's your same nationality, but who's sitting next to you? That's your neighbor. And so this is what Vineyard teaches. This is what it has been a blessing to me. I am born and raised in the cotton fields of Mississippi, where I was thingatized. White preachers preached from the pulpit of God's house down there that when God said, let us make man in our image after our own likeness, everybody know he wasn't talking about black men because everybody know God is white. Well, Jesus cleared that up in John chapter 6, okay? He said, for no one have seen the Father except the one that came down from the Father. So these preachers are preaching a lie to the people in a divisive manner, Well, here at Vineyard, we are here to incorporate God's word with you, to all of his people, that his son Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and bled the blood of salvation and the blood of grace and mercy for all of us. Not some of us, but for all of us. So I'm just grateful today for the leaders of Vineyard who have brought us together in love and harmony to love one another as God loves us, because the Bible speaks about love continuously. And Paul devoted a whole scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 on love. And so I'm going to read a verse right quick. I got to get going here because I know the scripture I'm going to read to you is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. Just incorporate what Vineyard is about. Just as a body through one has many parts, but all parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. For the Jews, Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the same Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. God bless you all, and thank you for your attention. All right.
Morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jason, and it's great to be here this morning. The day was April 18th, 2025. It was Good Friday. That's the day where I felt compelled to get down on my knees and give myself, all of myself, to Jesus. And it happened in this very room where we are right now. It's incredible what God can do in such a seemingly short amount of time. After spending over a decade of my life, which happened to be about half of my life, actively rejecting the Christian faith, this was a full circle moment for me. I was 16 years old when I remember telling my dad that I didn't want to go to church anymore. To me, this felt like the first time I was making an adult decision. It wasn't overnight that I came to this realization, though. My childhood often felt difficult. There were times that I felt like I sought after God, but for some reason, I just couldn't get there. I have my theories as to why. Perhaps it was growing up in a public school system and being surrounded by peers that weren't the most charitable to or understanding of the institution of Christianity or to Jesus. Maybe it was a result of the mental health struggles I went through. I see today how God used even my struggles with depression over the years to grow me into who I am today. Maybe it was the fact that I needed to go through a season of questioning, albeit an extended season of questioning, to see what the world had to offer. Maybe it was some combination of all those things. We can't fully know how he functions. It didn't help either that when I was 16, my mother ended up becoming ill. The strongest woman who I have ever known, who had polio, and against all odds, lived and made a life for herself, and had two children, fought for 3 years until her body couldn't fight any longer. I was 19 at the time of her passing in 2012. These were very difficult years. To deal with coming of age and finding one's identity while also losing the stability in the family you knew, it was all a lot. So I went ahead and found out what the world had to offer. Between excessive drinking and partying, substance use, relationships with women that I knew were frivolous, and mix in a little new age spirituality and mysticism, and I was drinking the Kool-Aid that pop culture tells you is going to satisfy you and fill your cup. But like real Kool-Aid that's full of sugar and won't quench your thirst, it often went down sweet but then left me thirsting more than before. That was my late teens, my entire 20s, and the first couple years of my 30s too. It amazes me to think about it now that I basically spent half of my life like this. I see now how everything that I did and everything I tried over those years was leading me back home. A lot of life happens over the course of a decade and a half. I continued dealing with mental health struggles. There were addictions I contended with, most notably the use of marijuana and to a lesser extent, pornography. I ended up gaining more of a grasp on these vices over time. However, I would still occasionally slip up. I searched and looked for ways to deal with my mental health and tried very, very hard at it. When I was in my early 20s, I discovered my passion for fitness in the gym. I was always into sports and athletics growing up, so this was a good fit. Pushing myself in the gym became a way I started to transform my mental health. I even decided to take this passion and to become a personal trainer, which is still my full-time job today. I thank God that I have the privilege to bring physical strength and wellness to those who are seeking it. But even with this, it wasn't enough to fill the God-shaped hole in my heart, not even close. So I kept drinking the world's Kool-Aid, and I put in lots and lots of effort. It was all pure will. I worked tirelessly to try to beat my depression and to be happy. And what happens when you do that is you eventually burn out, and this leads to you feeling more dejected. It was a cycle of push, 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 and then burnout. I continued looking for answers from the world, but I got hit with the sad reality that if you go to the world for answers about who you are, you're almost guaranteed to have a distorted or caricatured conception of what that is. I wanted to get one, come on. Thank you. You're either going to get some grandiose picture that paints you as better than others, or you're going to feel inadequate and like you don't add up. It's one or the other extreme. You might fluctuate between feeling both ways, and this is probably one of the tricks the enemy uses to knock us off our footing. I know there were times I felt one or the other way, but more often than not, I felt inadequate. Sadly, this is what you get in our social media world today. I feel as though my coming back to the Lord was a slow build. It was like a bunch of small experiences and lessons and bits of wisdom that built on one another. The straw that broke the camel's back, however, was the inevitable ending of a relationship I had with a woman which began in 2021. We dated on again and off again until our final abrupt and painful split in the fall of 2024. After a conversation with a close friend about the situation, I knew I needed to get real with myself, so I ended things abruptly and without warning and left both of us hurting. I wanted to move on quickly, but it wasn't going to be so easy. It all reached a boiling point for me when I ran into my ex at the gym one Saturday evening just a couple weeks before Christmas. Despite my efforts to move on, I just wasn't able to. Feeling increasingly alone at this time, I reached out to see if we could work things out and also see if we should be together long term. This was, in fact, the event that motivated me to start talking to God again. I had a desire for me and my ex to be back together. However, my prayers at this time were more along the lines of, if this is meant to be, let it be so. And if this isn't meant to be, let it be so and let me be okay with that. I didn't realize it at the time, but I was praying, not mine, but your will be done. It was then on New Year's Day that me and my ex had a phone conversation that made it clear and made it final. We weren't going to be together. And if I'm being honest, she's the one who saw this before I did. That was a difficult conversation to have, but I look back at it now as being one of the most important conversations that completely altered the trajectory of my life. I actually feel grateful to her today, because I know now that we would have just hurt each other more had we continued that cycle. That was on January 1st, 2025. For a few weeks to that point, I was praying consistently, and I also read through the Gospels of Mark and John and my copy of the message that my dad had given to me about a year before. I wasn't going to a church, though, and I felt like I wanted to have that community. I always appreciated the sense of community that surrounded me in childhood, being raised in a Christian home. Having come to the Vineyard for a short season back in 2013, the year after my mom passed, I didn't have a difficult time choosing where to go. Just a few weeks after the phone call with my ex, I made my way into the 11 a.m. service immediately after seeing personal training clients on a brutally cold January morning. The person holding the door open for me that morning was Mike. The first person I saw that morning has become one of my closest friends here at Vineyard. If we fast forward back to Good Friday now, in just 3 short months up to that point, I was diving headfirst into the community here at Vineyard. I showed up at a newcomers gathering where I was thoroughly interrogated by Ben Siuni. Ben informed me, I'm glad you did, Ben. Ben informed me about an upcoming young adults night. I decided to go to the young adults night, and I immediately felt at home and met some of my closest friends from that cohort. I found a small group that met on Tuesday nights, hosted over at Mark and Ruman's place. As if God himself had planned it, Tuesday nights happened to open up in my work schedule the exact same week that I was invited to come. Most importantly, myself and God spent time together every day. I had prayed for those months for God to free me from things that kept me bound up for so long, lust, envy, depression, despair. In just a few short months, he did all that, and he's done so much more. I'll wrap this up by saying, for me, it all started when I chose to surrender myself. It was when I finally, after so many years, realized I'm not the one in control. I came to God and asked him to help me. It turned from my effort to his grace at that point. It didn't happen overnight, but the story has only begun to be written. If there's any of you out there that has a burden you need lifted, or there's a battle you've been fighting for so long, my encouragement to you is to give it to God. If you come with a contrite heart and a willingness to not insist on your own way, you might be shocked and amazed at what he can give you in return. Thank you, everybody.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Megan Dugan-Adell. Thank you for listening. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. I started coming to the Vineyard, the Evanston Vineyard, in 1997. And this church has always been a place of healing and support for me. I had grown up in the church, but the church that I went to in high school was a wonderful church, and I loved the outpouring of the Spirit that we got to experience during the Brownsville Revival, and just the presence of the Lord for hours and hours in the church in worship. But there was kind of a one-upsmanship in that church and a lot of churches around how much time you spent at church and whether how much you loved God. And there was an expectation that if you really love God, you'd be at church four times a week. And I didn't really want to be at church four times a week. And there was an expectation that every young person would go into the ministry and would either be a pastor, a pastor's wife, or a missionary. And I didn't feel a call to that. I didn't feel like the Lord was calling me to that. And so I felt a little lonely there. And so when I came here while I was at school at North Park University, it was such a breath of fresh air, and it brought a lot of healing to me, because I got to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. I got to be in a place where people believed that we all can hear from the Lord for each other, and that the Lord can heal. I got to be in these beautiful worship services where the Lord was really moving, but without that added pressure, because we were taught to go out and be the church, and that's exactly what I wanted to do. I felt like the Lord was calling me into a different kind of career, to go out and bring his love everywhere I went, and that's what we should be doing. The church has also really sustained me through some really challenging times in my life. I went through about 6 or 7 years where an unbelievable number of things went wrong, and my friends tend to call that my Job years. So I had a fire, I had a flood, I lost my inheritance, I lost my marriage, just one thing after another. And at that same time, I had moved back up here from the south side. But before that, I had really gotten really burned out in my career and felt like there was something else that I needed to do. And so I was really praying to the Lord what he wanted me to do next. Because I've always felt like my career is my ministry, and I've always put that as something to ask the Lord what he wants me to do. I was getting prayer at the Hyde Park Vineyard where I was for a few years while I lived on the southwest side of the city. And a wonderful woman there, Relissa Tutwiler, had a word for me. And she told me that I had felt like I needed to take a big leap of faith in my career. And she told me that, yes, that the Lord did want me to take that leap, and that if I did that he would show up in some really amazing ways that I couldn't imagine. And so I did that. I quit my job, which was really challenging. And I'd already always really struggled to trust God with my finances. I had struggled to trust that if I didn't have a job or if something went really wrong, that the Lord would show up and would provide for me. I knew it intellectually, but I just couldn't quite believe it. So I quit my job, which was very challenging, and I started my own business, and I started doing freelancing, which was less common at the time. And it was really hard. And there were times when I didn't have any projects and no money coming in, and I didn't know when I was going to get money, and I wasn't sure how to pay the rent. I had to live with a friend for a while because I just wasn't quite sure I could actually pay rent every month on my income. And there were times when I didn't know if I could pay for food. I wasn't quite sure where the grocery money was going to come from. But I had a group of women, at this time I'd moved back up here, group of women from the church who were there with me, praying, just being there, supporting me. And one day when I was really trying to figure out, I hadn't had any projects, I wasn't trying to figure out how to pay the rent for that month, I got a check in the mail for $2,300 from the Illinois Treasurer's Office. And I still have no idea why they sent me a check for $2,300. But it was exactly what we needed for the rent and to pay the bills and for some food. And there were so many times when God did that in little ways. And he always provided just what I needed, not extra, but just what I needed. And I never even had to come to the food pantry. But there's just been so many times in my life where God has shown up in that way. After a little over a year of really struggling, but just continuing to follow what I thought God had told me to do, I all of a sudden got a call out of the blue for a very large contract that was not full-time, it was part-time, and it was still considerably more money than I'd been making in my full-time job that was in exactly my field, and they wanted someone in Chicago. It completely dropped into my lap, and I got it, and I did that for a couple years, and the Lord just really blessed us financially and has been doing that ever since. So I just wanted to say, if you're going through a Job time, it may take a while. And the Lord does not promise us monetary overflowing and blessing in all parts of our lives at all time. But if we are faithful and we ask for his help, he will certainly show up and he will take care of us and make sure that we have what we need. So thank you for listening. That's... That is one of my many testimonies. If I told you all the ways that God has answered prayers over the years, we'd be here for a long time. But I wanted to read you the last few verses of Psalm 136 that I started with, because I think it's apropos. He remembered us in our low estate. His love endures forever and freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever.
Thank you, Megan. Now, special treat. If I could have the founders come up on stage, please. Yeah, that. These are folks that were there in the beginning when the church started. And I've asked a couple of them, Dick and Eric, to pray for us. Just wanted to be blessed by the people that started the church from the beginning. And so they've got microphones. They're going to come up, and they're going to close us in prayer, and then we're going to give it over to Steve. It's been fun getting to know them over the last less than 24 hours, I suppose that is.
We've done a lot of living in a short time.
Yes, a lot of living. That's right.
Lord, we have to admit, after 50 years, we barely knew what we were doing, but the Spirit certainly knew, and we were responding to your word and a need as we saw. Your Spirit led us to what has become a great adventure here and has produced much more fruit over the last 50 years. The mission you had for us was probably bigger than any of us imagined at the time. It would involve more languages and cultures and a wider variety of people than we had anticipated. We were thinking the North Shore. You were thinking the world. So we thank you for those challenges and opportunities to spread your good news. So with a whole new generation of leaders, we pray now for more challenges and opportunities. May this church continue to be fruitful and raising his children, making disciples, and reaching out to this community, and taking the gospel wherever you lead. May your Spirit continue to prosper and bless the Evanston Vineyard.
Amen to that. Holy and exalted Lord, look upon your people. take pleasure in who you have drawn together. This is your church. Jesus, you are Lord of the church. And so we know you are the foundation. You are the cornerstone. And we like having had some history here and enjoy the thought of having some part in founding the church, but it's you that it's founded on. And so now as we look around, we ask you to pour out another greater measure of your blessing. Your presence, your greatness, let it be seen, let it ripple out from here, let it overflow from each life till the whole earth is filled with your glory. We give glory to you in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
You know, having these folks come back, you know, they were all here at the very, very beginning. It reminds me how little we knew at the beginning. But we did have one thing really well down, and that is we knew that we had to keep saying yes to God. And that's what we did. We said yes to God here, and then that most of them scattered, saying yes to God. Now we're looking ahead to another 50 years. And it's the same thing. We're starting at a different place, a better place, a more expanded place. But it's still going to be the same process, saying yes to God. And I feel right now, as we're looking ahead to the next 50, it's time to say yes again. And if you agree and you want to be a part of that and you want to say yes, then stand to your feet and then we're going to pray for you. Just stand up. You're saying yes, I'm in for the next 50. Yeah, I'm going to say that. What you understand, you're saying yes to whatever God has. Wherever he takes you, you don't even know what that's going to be. All right, you guys, let's stretch out our hands. All right. Lord, I just pray your blessing on all these people and their yes. Lord, may you listen to their yes, record their yes, and take them all the places you want them to be going. Do with them all the things you want them to do. Lord, will you make out of us as a family and as a community all that you want? We know you're not done. There's still a future. There's another 50 years. Pour out your spirit. Do your surprises. Change more lives. Rescue more people as we look ahead to the future. And as we're standing here right now, I especially want to focus some prayer on the generation that actually has a chance to see 50 years from now. So if you are under 30, 29 and below, and you want to be a part of this, step up front and get up to the stage, and we'll focus just a little more prayer on you guys because you've got the full 50 to go. We're not sticking around for the whole 50, but you got to stick around for the whole next 50. Come on. All right, you know what would be really nice? If you guys could just circulate around and lay your hands on each of these younger people. Yeah, just circulate around. Let's lay our hands on them and pray for God's blessing on this next generation. Rest of you, as we're praying, you can join in. You can help us pray for people. Otherwise, go out in the world, be the church. Here we go, 50 years going.